art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen.
You are blessed.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We want to welcome you to midweek service tonight. Let's worship God together.
Why I lift my voice? Why I sing to you?
Lord, you are the reason. Why I lift my voice? Why I sing to you?
Lord, you are the reason I'm alive today.
Yes, Lord.
You are the reason why I lift my head. I lift my voice.
Service. We are right on Instagram and we are on Facebook, and we want to welcome you to this wonderful time in God's presence. It's going to be a wonderful time by God's grace. And we are looking at a very important topic which has to do with sex. And we are talking to singles. Around 7:30 p.m., we are having another edition for Married Couples. But right now, we are talking to singles. We are talking to singles. And it's going to be a wonderful time tonight. Tonight, all the way from Shouts of Grace Center, we want to welcome you to a wonderful time in God's presence. Now, the first thing we want to emphasize, that we want to talk about, is the fact that sex is created by God. Sex is created by God. That's the first thing we like to emphasize, that there's nothing evil about sex. Nothing is evil about it. You know, the way we grew up sometimes, especially our mothers, you know, when they want to talk to their girls, when they want to go to campus, for example, you know, they say things like, don't allow any man to touch you. If a man touches you, you'll get pregnant. And then you get to school, you get to campus, and people give you a hug and you don't get pregnant. And you're like, what's happening here? You see, what we need to understand in raising up our children or in telling young people about sex is that it is the truth that will set free. Falsehood cannot set anybody free. So that even, you see, you cannot scare people into not committing sin. So it is still the truth that will set free. You see, 1 degree away from truth is falsehood, no matter the intention with which that falsehood is communicated. You know, there are sometimes falsehood is communicated in order to protect the other person, but it is still falsehood. And so, this is the truth. You know the truth and the truth will set you free. So, it is the truth that sets free, and we need to really understand, you know, that particular fact. So, sex is good. Sex is created by God. Sex is a wonderful invention of God to bring the couples together, to serve as a glue, a marital glue within the marriage context. And so we need to understand that and clear our mind of the fact that sex is evil. You know, particularly for those who have been abused before, their thoughts really will be that sex is evil. There's something shady, wicked, nasty about sex. But the truth remains that sex is a good thing that is created by God to be enjoyed in the context of a marriage, not outside of it. And it's important we understand that. Because, you see, when we'll get to that point, you see, when these principles are violated, that is when problems begin to come.
Okay. Another point I would like to share this evening is that sex outside marriage is not acceptable to God. There is no how you want to justify it or look at it. It is not acceptable to God. When we look at sex for unmarried couples, that is for singles, engaging in sex is a violation of God's word.
Yeah.
When God says sex is something beautiful and it is to be done in the context of marriage, He means it, because
yeah.
God doesn't joke with anything He says.
You know,
we need to get that right.
Yeah.
And that there are consequences for every violation of God's word.
Yeah.
God told Adam in the Garden of Eden, He told Adam and Eve that don't touch this fruit. Don't eat of this tree. Don't eat of the tree of evil, of the knowledge of good and evil. He told them, He didn't have to scare them, He just told them, and He expects them to obey. you know, and of course they were deceived and all that. They took out of the fruit, and the consequence is still with us today.
Yeah.
And that is to show us that any violation of God's word, sex in this context, is will bring very severe consequences. God says, do not engage in sex outside of marriage. God expects us to obey it and obey it to the full. Some people will say, okay, I'm not engaging in sex, but we do all other things. You know, just that's why the Bible says we should flee all appearances of evil. Anything that appears to be like violating God's law, we should avoid it. Now, you don't want to please man in order to go against God's word. Some people will be like, I'm under pressure. You know, there's usually this story we tell of two people that are almost about to get married, and they feel like, okay, we are almost getting married, why not just engage in sex and all that? And out of pressure, they engaged in it. It's still a violation of God's law.
Definitely.
It's still a violation of God's law, because until you are married, and that means even a day to the married day.
To the wedding.
That means you are still not married. So
Yeah. Just
wait till you are married, you know, and that means you have waited and you are following God's law. You know, when we violate God's law, there are many consequences, like I said earlier, and we don't want to violate God's law, not for anything. It's not worth it. It's not worth it at all, at all, at all. It's not worth it. Okay.
Praise God. Still talking about violation right there. We need to understand that one of the reasons why God said we should not violate that principle of having sex outside of marriage is to protect us. What God wanted to do is to protect us. Of course, we all know the consequences of premarital sex. Is it sexually transmitted diseases we want to talk about? Is it bringing forth children when it's not yet time? Having unwanted pregnancies? Is it the story of abortions? You see, the consequences are many. And the reason God says, okay, I don't want you to have sex outside of marriage, is because He wants to protect us. Now, in the Old Testament days, God will tell the children of Israel, don't marry outside of Israel. Don't marry these people from Philistine, from here, from there, and all of that. You know, it was discovered later when there were excavation of bones that these people that God said they should not marry from, they checked their bones after so many years, thousands of years, and they discover advanced meningitis inside those bones. So you discover that God is actually trying to protect. You know, sometimes we say things like, I want to be free, I want to live my life. But you see, there is no freedom without boundary. What makes freedom free, to be a real freedom, is that there are boundaries. For example, you want to give your son a freedom to go and enjoy his life, to go and meet with his friends. He's going, say, you have the freedom, you can go. But then you tell him, make sure you come back by 9 p.m. Don't stay out late. Now, you see, the freedom is there, but the protection has to come. Because if he stays late in the night, a whole lot of things can happen. He can get attacked by armed robbers. Any bad things can happen in the night. So he says, make sure by 9 p.m. you get back home. What is he trying to do? You can have your freedom, but there is a boundary. You understand what we are talking about here? You see, God is not saying you shouldn't have sex, but He said wait till marriage, wait till after wedding. And look, after you get married, if all you want to do is to keep on having sex, you are free to do it. The angels will be clapping for you. Nobody's going to get offended. So, but you need to wait and not violate the instructions of God in your bid to satisfy a rush of adrenaline. You see, God wants you to be disciplined. You see, the reason for that is because marriage does not solve lust problem.
Yeah.
After wedding, after you are married, you will still see other beautiful women. You will still see other handsome men. But will you be able to hold yourself and control yourself and say, no, I can't do this because it is not right? You see, because if you are not disciplined, there's no way God can use you sufficiently. God wants to use you. God wants to use you maximally. God wants you to fulfill purpose. God wants you to get to the zenith of his purpose for your life. But you can't do that when you are careless with your life. You can't do that when you are sexually loose. So God will often tell you, don't do this, don't do that. Not because he's trying to limit you. Not because he's trying to cut you off from having a nice time. But he's actually trying to protect you. And that protection, God is committed because he is our father. Just like if you have a son, you are the earthly father. And your son wants to drive a car at the age of 10. You are not going to give him the key. Why? Because he's not of age.
Yeah.
You know that he's going to ruin himself and even kill himself and throw the whole family into a trail of tragedy if you do that. So you tell him no. Now, the boy might feel rejected, might feel some pain. He might even say, daddy doesn't like me, you know, and all of that. But the father, if he's a good father, will insist that, no, I'm not giving you my car key. It's not yet time. Why? You don't have the character and the maturity to handle driving on the road. And so it's the same way. If we are not of age yet and we are not ready for these things, God said, don't go near it. Don't go near it. And if you feel you are of age, you can handle it, God says, then go and marry. If you are burning, go and marry. That's what the Bible says. So the Bible is not putting you in a place where you are completely fixated and shut up in a corner. If you believe, no, I think I'm ready, I'm responsible, then go and get married. Once you're married, go on and keep on having sex. If that's all you want to do. But one thing is sure, after you get married, you discover that marriage is not all about sex. Sometimes sex will be the last thing on your mind. There are a lot of things you'll be thinking about. So you need to understand that balance. That God is not trying to limit you in any way. He's only trying to protect you. He is our father. And a loving father at that. And is committed to protecting you and I. Are you following me? As a young man, you need to understand that. As a young man, you can't just be pointing nozzle all over the place. No, you have to control yourself. And the Bible tells us how to control ourselves. It's not by New Year resolution or by writing something down in your diary and say, okay, from today I will not do anything. All of those things don't work. What is going to work? By the Holy Ghost. He says, walk in the Spirit. And you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, if you want to overcome sexual sins, you have to embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, some people will say things like, oh, this shagala, blah, blah, blah. I'm not caught for it. I can't be speaking Baladash. It's not Baladash. That's your power as a Christian.
Yes.
You reject praying in the Holy Ghost. That's the same reason you could still be struggling with sexual sin. It is the Holy Spirit that will give you strength to overcome sin. You cannot overcome sin in your own flesh, in your own power, in your own strength. Yes. You are going to need the Holy Ghost all the way. And one of the ways you develop and build up your spirit man is by praying in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. See, the devil doesn't understand that language. It's a heavenly language. It's a mystery that you communicate between you and the Father. And when you start to pray in the Holy Ghost, men de vrashtoka, nanto gila baroste, ebarashinange, zofata. What have you got? You just lost the devil because he doesn't understand that language. You just got the devil out of the equation, and your spirit is connected to your God the Father. And great things happen in the realm of praying in the Holy Ghost. You got to understand that. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. And amen.
Amen. The Holy Ghost is the power of God.
Hallelujah.
To help every single avoid sexual sins. Amen. That is so, so, so true.
Get on Facebook and work on God.
Okay, the next point I would like to talk about is the fact that sex is not the same thing as love. People get it twisted. They are wondering, okay, if I love this person, then I should have sex with the person. Or if I'm having sex with somebody, then that means I love the person. There are two different things. Love, as we know God is love. And there are four words that explain what love is in the Greek. Whereas in English, it's just one word that we use for love. The same love that I use for, I love oranges. What do you do to oranges? You drink and after that you throw it away. It's the same word you use. I love parties. You go to parties and what comes at the end of it, nothing much. It's the same love, you know, it's the same. There is no distinction. And probably that's why people get it a little bit twisted. Love, we have four types of love. We have philia, which is love between like brothers. We have agape, which is the unconditional love of God. We have eros, which is the romantic love. And the fourth one, we have, what is it?
Storge.
We have storge, which is the... Okay. Now, agape love is the unconditional love that God has for us. God is a compassionate God. He loves us so much. He, you know, Bible says, God loves, he gave. It's the kind of love that will give. It's the kind of love that will protect. It's the kind of love that wants to see that in the relationships, you are not taking advantage of. It's a kind of love that wants to protect, that wants to make the other person blossom. Amen. So when people get into relationship, they mistake love for sex. It's not the same thing. You know, what if it's the same, then that means the prostitute out there falls in love with everybody he has sex with. It's not true. That means every guy out there that feels like having sex and have sex and, you know, that means he's in love. But that's not true, because we notice that even some people, we watch the telly and we see a lot of things going on now. People finish having sex and maybe they kill the person or they start abusing the person. That means there is a difference. Having sex is very, very different from love. So we as singles, we need to understand that dimension. We need to understand that just because there is a rush of your adrenaline and the testosterone is going haywire and you feel like having sex with somebody, or maybe you are moved by the outward appearance of the lady or the man. Maybe the person has the right hips, the fine lips, everything is intact. You have what we call attraction to the person. Having attraction to someone doesn't mean you love the person. Anybody you spend time with, anybody you talk with, you know, you will eventually, well, they say you fall in love with the person. That doesn't make it right. Amen. If they usually say that if you spend time with a monkey, you can fall in love with the monkey. You know, so you need to come to a point where you distinguish between love and sex. You know, you should not go out demonstrating your love to somebody by having sex with that person. They are two different things. you know, there are two different things, and we need to come to a point where we really understand that I love somebody or I'm in love with somebody doesn't have to end in sex, especially once you are not married.
Praise God. Stodgy, I think Stodgy is love between families that she was trying to explain the other time. All right, so one more thing I would say, and then we'll try to take questions. If you have your questions already, please put them in the comment section, and we'll quickly attend to them. If you have your questions, put them in the comment section. Now, the next thing I would like to say is that every sexual violation has consequences. There are consequences. And I'll quickly read for us from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 26 to 28. It says, "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." It says, "Can a man," in verse 27, "can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?" What is the Bible trying to tell us here? The Bible is telling us here that there are consequences. Believe you me, every sexual act is like a seed. And when you sow a wrong seed, the harvest will surely come. It is only meeting Jesus Christ that oftentimes truncates the harvest of bad seeds sown in the past. Because God is a rewriter of history. God can make all things good. God can make something that's really, really bad and turn it to something good. But without that factor, every seed you sow, guess what? There's going to be a harvest. So every sexual sin, every sexual violation, you know, I was talking to a particular young guy who said when he went to serve, he impregnated a particular lady and denied the pregnancy and ran away. I said, "Look, you just sow a seed. And the kind of seed you sow is even a serious one because your seed is alive. So you drop something there in the north. And you can't run away from it because the Bible says your sin will find you out. You see, one day that guy or that lady you gave birth to will show up. One day he will show up. He will show up. And so one of the things we need to understand about sin is that there are consequences. That is why the Bible clearly says that the wages of sin is death. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for the mercies of God that can overrule our mistakes, that can rewrite our history and give us a new beginning. But we are not to take the grace of God for granted. You see, the grace of God is not a license for us to continue in sin. Like some people would say, grace cover it, grace cover it, grace. Grace does not cover such. Grace will not cover habitual sexual sin. Yes, grace can cover a sexual sin that is a mistake, even a second time mistake, even a third time mistake. But when it gets to a time and you are not repentant and you are in habitual sin, that grace is going to expire. That's just the way it is. It's going to expire, and the next thing will be judgment, because at that point in time, you are not just making a mistake. You are actually living in sin. And the Bible says no unclean thing will enter heaven. Without holiness, no man can see the Lord. Let me tell you something. You can't combine these things together. You can't be HOD choir and you are sleeping with people in church. You can't be assistant pastor and be sleeping with people in church. You can't be the senior pastor, the lead pastor of the church, and you are sleeping with members. Something is amiss. Something is wrong. Something is totally amiss. And you need to come to God and humble yourself and ask God for mercy over your soul, lest judgment will overtake you. Yeah. See, God will extend his grace, but after a while, judgment is what's going to follow. The grace of God is not to keep us in sin, is to keep us from sin. That's why the Bible says, shall we continue in sin and grace abound? It says, God forbid. In other words, the purpose of grace is not for the abounding of sin. The purpose of grace is for overcoming of sin. For the Bible declares and says that sin will not have dominion over us. In other words, sin will not overpower us. We have the power over sin. We can say no to sin. We shouldn't get to that place where we are helpless. We shouldn't get to that place where we are like, well, I can't help it. We shouldn't get to that place where we are, where we resign to fate and we are like, oh, there are some demonic influences, that's why I'm in sin. No. God, the Bible says when Jesus dealt with the issue of our sin, he went for the jugular. That's what Message Translation says. It's, the Bible says he nailed everything to the cross. That the thing he did was once and final. You see, there's no other plan for redemption. There is no other sacrifice. Nobody needs to die again for our sin. Jesus already died for our sin. And the price he paid is not only supreme, it is complete.
Amen.
That price is not only superior, it is the final price that will ever be paid. No other plan. God has no other plan. God has no other intention to save you and I.
Amen.
His only plan is Jesus.
Yes.
He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So you need to understand that God loves you. God loves you. And because he loves you, he tells you there are certain things you should not do. There are certain things you should not put forth your hands into.
Yes.
Why? To protect you.
Yes.
Imagine if God says you can have sex at any age. So by age 9, you started fathering children.
Mm-hmm.
When you are a child, you have children on you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feed them? How do you send them to school?
Yeah.
Now, in case you say, I don't want to have children at that age, so you start aborting from age 9, how many people are you going to kill? How many people are you going to murder?
Mm-hmm.
How many destinies are you going to stop? How many lives are you going to truncate before they even come to life?
Mm-hmm.
So God is trying to protect you and I. You know, some people will ask questions like, if God doesn't want us to have sex, why did he put sexual desire there? You see, he has to put his sexual desire there because you're going to need it in your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. And because you are not a machine, you are not a robot, God cannot turn off sexual desire. And then when you wait, he will now turn it on.
Yeah.
No, when he does that to you, you are no longer a human being.
Yeah.
Our humanity goes with our free will and the power of choice.
Yes.
The reason we are human is because we have choice.
Amen.
The very time God takes our choice away, we are no longer human. We become robots. We become machines. Because God can now force everybody to give their lives. God can now force everybody to do certain things. But in doing that, God will violate himself and his person. Because God is a just God and is a righteous God. And so because he's a just God and a righteous God, there are ways that things have to be done. And so what God has instituted is that we have to have a choice. That is why he said, look, I present before you life and death. Choose one. He said, I advise you, choose life. See, you hear him say things in the scriptures. He says, look, if you hearken and obey me, all these blessings will overtake you. But if you hearken not and you disobey, all these curses will follow. So there are curses waiting to follow disobedience. There are blessings waiting to follow obedience. Obedience is not just something you do because you are a good boy. No, obedience is what you do because you want to please your God. We are created to please God. We are not created to go after our own desires. We are not created to live our own lives. We are not created to do anything we want anyhow. No, he created us for his pleasures. And because we are created for his pleasure, then there are ways we need to please him. We cannot please God on our own terms.
Yes.
You see, I have 3 sons. My oldest son is in the university. The second one is on his way to university. You see, they have boundaries. My second son, I refuse to get him the phone until he finished secondary school. Why am I doing that? Boundaries. I know that by the time he finishes secondary school, he's at a certain age where he begins to know his right from wrong. You see, we need to understand all these things. That boundaries is because of God's love. It's called tough love. That's why there are boundaries.
Yes.
If you have a son or a daughter with no boundaries, the girl cried, hey, 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 mommy, mommy. I want to go to my neighbor's house. I want to go at the age of 5 by 8 p.m. You are going to say, no, you can't go. And then she begins to cry and throws tantrum and jumps up and say, mommy, you don't love me, but you're not going to listen to her. You try to explain to her, I love you. That's why I'm doing this with you. No, you don't love me. No, it's because I love you. It's called tough love. The Bible says, even God loveth, he chastises. So we need to understand how this thing works.
Yeah.
God doesn't want to put you in a fixated place. Some people say Christianity is boring. When you become a born-again Christian, it's a boring life. You can't go to parties. You can't go to this. Yes, you can't go to all of that. But there are parties in God. There are parties in the Holy Ghost.
What do you go to do
in parties? You go to dance. There is dancing in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
What else do you go there to do? You go there to get high. Oh, you can get high in the Holy Ghost. He said, be not drunk with wine is necessary. He said, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. So there's a life in the Holy Spirit that is sweet. When you taste that life, believe you me, you don't want to go back on God. You don't want to go back again. The reason you despise that life is because you have not tasted it. He said, oh, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. When you taste it, you don't want to leave it again. That's why you have Christians who are martyred. You ask them, renounce Jesus now. They say, no, I can't renounce. You want to kill me? Go ahead and do so. They have tasted of the power of the age to come.
Yes.
See, there is something about your life, people of God. Don't allow the devil to use his gimmicks and use his strategies to ruin your life and to cut short the purpose of God for your life.
Amen.
You are on an assignment. You are here on a purpose. You're on this side of the world for a purpose. And everything the devil is trying to do is to ensure that you don't fulfill purpose.
Amen.
Imagine you're trying to live for God and say you tell your ex whom you are sexually involved with and you say, okay, now I don't think what we're doing is right. Don't let's do this again. Don't come again. So your ex walks away. Now you rededicate your life to God. You are trying to start again. The moment you are trying to start again, something begins to happen. You are running after a particular lady. You were not born again. You wanted to date this girl. By all means, you wanted to date and sleep with her. She says, no, I'm not ready for you. I can't date you. Now, fast forward a few months after, you give your life to Jesus. You rededicate your life. You tell God, I'm serving you now. And then the girl shows up on the door and says, I'm here for you now. You see, that's a setup from the pit of hell.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you are lucky. It doesn't mean you have something for girls. It's a strategy from the pit of hell. And you want to refuse such because the devil is trying to take your freedom in quotes. And while you think you are going for freedom, he puts you into bondage right
yes,
there. I pray that God will grant us more understanding.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Do we have any questions? Put it in the comment section so that we can answer it. If there are no questions, then I will probably take one more point before we close. Do we have any questions there? I don't think so. Okay, so let me go on. In the absence of no question, let me go on. Let me mention one more point. You see, sex is a negotiation of your destiny. And I'm going to explain why. It's a negotiation of your destiny. When you see somebody come and offer herself or himself for free sex, there's something in contention. There's something the devil is looking for. There's something the devil is trying to take. There's an exchange the devil is trying to work on, and you need to understand how this works. Now, you remember the story of Judah and Tamar. This is not the Tamar of Amnon. Another Tamar in the Bible. You remember the scripture, how he got married and the guy died and they didn't have any issue. And then they married the junior brother and then that one died also. And they just kept dying one by one. And so the father-in-law said, all right, I'm just going to keep you here and wait until I have a son that you can marry so that you can give birth. So the lady was just there and there was nothing, you know, that was happening about her life. So she pretends and goes to stand on the roadside like she's a prostitute. Waited for her father-in-law to come, and her father-in-law came and wanted to sleep with a prostitute. Thinking she was a prostitute, he went in and slept with her. But before he slept with her, Tamara said, "Look, I want an exchange. I want something to, I want you to give me something that I will hold as a pledge until you pay my money." So the guy exchanged and gave him some things. He gave him his staff, gave him his bracelet, and then gave him his signet. Now those three things are negotiation for sex. But those three things are very essential and important in the life of anybody. The signet is like the mark of authority. In those days when kings send a message or a letter or something important, what they attach to that message is their signet. Once the other person sees the signet, which is like a ring, he knows that, oh, this is extremely important. And so it's like a seal. It's like a seal over your soul. When you have a sexual sin, you are giving away your signet. May you never lose your signet in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Then the next thing is bracelet. Bracelet is for beauty. It beautifies you. Put bracelet on the on your hand or around your neck. So when he gave his bracelets out, what he gave out was his beauty in the realm of the spirit. Gave out his beauty, his brilliance. That's what he gave out in the realm of the spirit. And then the next thing he gave out was the staff. Staff is for support. Staff is not to, is to make you stand well and not limp. We are all in a race. You want to stand well, you want to walk right. You see, but because of exchanging his staff, three vital things were negotiated out of his life. So you need to understand. Look at Esau, for example. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:16, said, "Lest there be a fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." You see, Esau exchanged his birthright for a morsel of meat. He said, that is the problem of fornicators. So lest there be a fornicator. What is the problem of fornicators? They can't wait. They can't wait. They are in a hurry. And so we need to understand how this thing works. That is how it works in the realm of the spirit. And we need to know that every time that God is telling us not to do certain things, He's actually trying to protect us. He's trying to protect us. He's trying to make us, you know, He's trying to make us, you know, follow His injunctions. He's trying to make us live for Him. He's trying to protect us from evil. And we need to understand all of these process, how they work. I think there's a particular question there. Want to know what are the practical steps to take in being restored after one falls into a sexual sin. Alright, there's a question there. What to do in being restored after one falls into a sexual sin? Well, I think the first thing is to be sure of repentance. You need to be sure you are genuinely repentant. If there's no repentance, there's no turning back. If there's no repentance, you may not be able to fully access the message of God. So you need to be repentant. That's the first thing. Repentance means you turn back. You turn away. You can't say you repent and then you go back the following day to do the same thing. Repentance means a turning away completely. You are going this way before and then you turn back to the right, to the opposite direction. That is what repentance is. The second thing you need to do is to ask God for forgiveness. You ask God to forgive. And once you are sure God has forgiven you, you are good. And then the third thing you do is to be accountable. You want to add something? You are accountable to people above you. You go to somebody and say, "All right, this is my problem. This is what I got into. Right now, I want to be accountable to you." So it's not only the fear of God alone, but the fear of your mentors and your pastors. You know that these people are checking on you, they're on your neck. So you don't want to disappoint God, you also don't want to disappoint your mentors.
Okay, another thing I would like to add is that, first of all, you need to understand what happened, what led to what. You know, you have to try and have an insight, the hindsight of what actually happened, what led to what, you know, the process, how it happened, you know, because if you understand how the devil works, how you were tempted, how you fail, you will be able to guide against that. You know, there is a Yoruba adage that says that when an old man falls down, he looks at the back. He looks at, okay, what made me fall? Was it that I was careless? Was it that I wasn't watching my step? Was it that I was thinking? You know, you need to sit down, look back, and you know, analyze what happened. Yeah. How did it happen? You know, in doing that, you understand the trap. You know, the devil doesn't have new ways. It's still the same old devil,
yeah,
with the same strategies. You know, of course, he might package it another way, but it's still the same old packaging, old ways that he works. So when you know that, you take a hold of, okay, what happened? And then not only doing that, you get to know that you don't have to be careless. Of course, Pastor was talking about it. Sexual sins is a negotiation of your destiny. After you have done that, you now need to sit down and know that, okay, I have an enemy. This enemy is out to destroy me. This enemy is out to negotiate for my destiny. There's something at stake and all that. You now have to sit down and buckle up and tell yourself no. You know, that no has to be resound. You have to, with determination, with prayers, everything, you have to say no. That no has to be strong. You know, you have to tell the devil no, not again, not me. You know, you have to do all that, and that will happen in the place of your daily walk with God, walking in the spirit. You know that you have this weakness, you begin to attack it. You attack it, because sexual sins have different areas where they are coming from. One, it could be generational. One, it could be, so you want to attack whichever way. You know, it's something you don't want to take for granted. It's something you want to deal with. It's like somebody that has that is diagnosed of a sickness or something. You want to attack it. You know, you want to use your medicine. You want to eat certain food. It's something you just have to attack. You know, well, that's all for now.
Praise God. We want to thank you for joining us. We have 5 minutes left, so we're just going to pray for you. We're going to pray with you and trust God for the best in your relationship. For those who are married, don't forget we are coming back online by 7:30 p.m. and we're going to talk about sex, bedroom talk for couples. We're going to talk about sex for married couples by 7:30 p.m. both on Facebook and on Instagram. But before we go, let's just share a word of prayer with you and then we'll be done. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up everybody under the sound of our voice. We thank you, Lord, because of what you have taught us and what you have showed us from your word. And we are praying for everybody listening right now that, Lord, your grace will rest upon them.
Amen.
Especially in your relationship and marriage, we declare the grace of God will rest upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are praying that every help you need will be supplied to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We pray that God's hand will be upon you for good.
Amen.
We rebuke the hand of the devil over your life.
Amen.
We declare it is well with you.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ. All right, thank you for joining in.
Thank you.
Somebody will paste the link through which you can give if you want to give your offering, because it's a midweek service. Can you paste that on the Instagram comment section? Paste that GTP code and paste the link as well. So you can use that link on the comment section to give your offering if you want to give it. And we pray that God's blessing will rest upon your seed.
Amen.
Once again, I want to tell us that we'll be online again by 7:30 tonight, because what we just did is for singles, basically. So we are coming back for another session for married couples, and it's going to be a wonderful time. We're going to talk about sex. It's interesting how we talk about this topic of sex. We are telling singles don't have sex. We are telling married couples go and have sex. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it as a single. You wouldn't believe this. But the reality is that one of the greatest complaints of married couples is that my husband is not having sex with me. My wife is not cooperating with sex. You wouldn't believe that. You wouldn't believe that. So some of these things that we are desperately looking for and want, by all means, by the time you have it, you discover that there are a whole lot of other things you want to do. There are a whole lot of things you want to do, your job, your work, and all of that. They are there. So let's embrace God's wisdom as singles.
Amen.
And let's give this time to God. God will honor you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As you stand for God in this generation, there is honor there. You cannot honor God in the way you do your things, and God will not honor you back. You will be honored by God in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you. Thanks for joining. Amen. See you by 7:30 p.m.
Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful night.
Bye.
God bless you. All right. If you are here this morning and you have not given your life to Jesus, I would like to present us an opportunity to do so. It is the greatest decision you will ever take in your life. If you are making that decision this morning, say after me, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I accept you as my Lord and personal Savior. I declare you died for my sin. You rose up on the third day. From today, I'm a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. In Jesus' name. Congratulations, if you prayed that prayer, welcome to the body of Christ. Welcome to God's kingdom. Please kindly leave a comment or send us a message on any of our social media handles so that we can send you the relevant materials. God bless you.
This message is brought to you by Dunamis and Sophia Noah, and powered by the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Shouts of Grace Center, and Kisses and Hugs Club, an online ministry to singles and married couples. Connect with us on Instagram
at Pastor Dunamis, at Pastor Sophia Bola, at Shouts of Grace Center, at KC_Global, on Facebook at KC Global,
on YouTube at Dunamis Tunde Noah, on MixLR at KHC Global. Visit our website, www.kissesandhugs.com.
Via our mail at kacpartners@gmail.com. To partner with us, kissesandhugs.com/partnership.
God bless you.